Take your Bibles, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, as we prepare for the Lord's table tonight. And you know what an honor it is to be able to take the Lord's table at a local church. It is the greatest privilege in the kingdom of God to partake in this ordinance that the Lord Jesus left with us. And it's a fearful thing for me as a pastor to do this. I never feel like I'm doing it right enough, but it's laid out for us. It's very simple, as many things in the scriptures are, but it's preparing for it. That's what it's about, is preparing for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, let's stand and say these verses together. Verse 16 and 17, that's all we're going to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Everybody, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Wow. You know what he's teaching here? The new temple program. Remember back this morning in our service this morning? He was saying, I will destroy this temple and raise it up in 3 days. That was the first time ever that anything like that had ever been said, and it was the Lord Jesus himself that said it, and nobody understood what he was talking about. They thought he was talking about that big brick, huge temple that was called Herod's temple, and they said it was 46 years in building. But this spake he of his body, which the disciples remembered when he was resurrected. Oh, and that's what he was talking about. It was his body, his life. And what Jesus was doing there was introducing the new temple program. If you remember the service this morning, it was about cleansing the temple. Folks, if there's anything that really needs to be done today, is our temple needs to be clean. And when we come to the Lord's table, it is paramount that we make sure we know what this is all about, cleansing the temple. Let's pray. Father, help me. Help us all, Lord, prepare tonight for this very important time where we really look at our own lives and do what you want us to do in honoring the Lord's table. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The temple. This is not the only time he refers to it. He says here, in verse 16, he says, know ye not that you are the temple of God? Now, what church was this anyway? What church is he talking to? He's talking to the Corinthian church. And this church was a church with a lot of problems. They needed to clean the temple. And what they recognized, that the temple was their bodies. They had to clean the temple. And he says, and if any man defile, verse 17, the temple of God, he says, him shall God destroy. Now, you know that big temple back in Jerusalem that Jesus stood in? They said, in 3 days, I will destroy this temple and raise it up. You know that temple? That big, huge temple called Herod's temple was destroyed. 70 years later, it was destroyed. And Jesus walked in there that day, and he cleaned it with a scourge of, you know, told everybody, get out. And he did it again 3 years later. He was making a point. The temple, in order for God to live there and be glorified in the temple, it has to be clean. It has to be holy, clean, holy. And he says, if you defile the temple, God will destroy you. And he's being very blunt here, Corinthian Christians who are living all not the way you're supposed to. He said, if you do not live the way you're supposed to live, your temple is going to be destroyed. That is where you live. Now, I want to tell you, if you're a Christian, your body is a temple. If you're a born-again believer, God lives in you. And you are the temple of God. You are the new temple program. And it's not buildings, it's not Herod's temple, it's you. Now, if you don't have Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, living in you, then that doesn't apply to you. You need to become the temple of God. In order to do that, the Spirit of God needs to come and live in you. When you accept the Son of God, when you receive the Son of God for your sin, for the atonement, covering of your sin, when you do that from your heart, the Holy Spirit then responds to that open heart belief and faith and comes and lives there. And you then become the temple of the living God. There's a lot in this Bible, the New Testament, about the temple of God. The key here is be holy. Holiness. The temple is to be a holy place. Now let's get this word holiness right. Holiness, from what I can tell, and there's a lot of things, but holiness is really the word of holiness means set apart. That's really what it means, set apart. It is, you are then setting your body apart for God's purpose that He has for you. God has a purpose for you. If you're saved, He has a purpose for you. And to be holy is basically saying, I am setting this body apart for you. If you don't set it apart for God, if you don't make it for God, He says you're living in big danger. Because if you don't and you keep refusing to, if you keep doing your thing instead of what God wants to do in your life, but letting God have His way in your life, He says one day I'm going to get fed up with you and your hardness of heart and I will destroy your body. I'll cut it off. It'll be over. And He does that with Christians all the time. You don't lose your salvation. You go home before your appointed time. God does that. That's what salvation means. You're His. Okay? And He's telling this backwards, carnal, lukewarm, sinning church. He says, get things right. Cleanse your life. Your body's a temple. Get it clean. Make it right. And He said, if you don't, I'm warning you, if you don't, God is going to destroy you. He'll destroy you. And this is not talking about Satan. It's God, the Heavenly Father God, is going to destroy you if you don't get your life on the right track. And he'll talk to you. He'll remind you. You'll hear a sermon. He might bring a person once in a while and say, you better get things right here. You better make some changes here. And you leave that sermon and you go out the door and you just do your own thing again. One day God is going to say, this is if you're saved. If you're not saved, this doesn't apply. But if you're saved, eventually He's going to say, enough. It's enough. And He will take you out. It is called the sin unto death. There's a place in the book of James, it's a sin unto death. In the book of 1 John, the sin unto death. It is the sin unto death. That is not losing your salvation, but you go home before your appointed time. You're either a child of God here tonight, or you're not. And as we prepare for the Lord's table, the first thing you want to be sure is that you are saved. Number two, you're on the right path. Now, I'm not saying that we are perfect. Nobody's perfect. Not the preacher, nobody. I'm not perfect by a long ways. But I do have a heart. My desire is to love Christ. I have a desire to serve the Lord. And I want God's will in my life. And He's chastened me at times, showed me that I need to change my attitude, change my this and that. He does it. He does it on a regular basis, even every day, helping us and showing us things. Okay? The point I want you to make here, for the temple of God, in verse 17, is holy, set apart, which temple ye are. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're in 1 Corinthians. He keeps this theme going. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 19, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. That doesn't make sense. Oh, 9, verse 9, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse, actually we're going to go down to verse 12. Verse 12. Verse 14. Let's go to verse 14, save time. Verse 14. He's saying, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? He's warning about separation here. Believers are not to be in fellowship with unbelievers on a regular basis. Now, what he's talking about here in religion or in anything that's not biblical and right, you're to draw away from that. Okay, let's look at the next verse. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? That's Satan. And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Separation. He's talking about the principle of separation. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. He's reminding us of the new temple program here. Not the old one with bricks and stone, not a building. It's about people. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's an Old Testament quote there that he has made, and he is referring to that covenant, that new covenant promise. And we see more of that in Hebrews chapter 9, 10, and 11, all about what this is being said in that verse. It is about the new covenant relationship when Jesus, through God's Son, as the high priest, as the mediator, he responds with the Holy Spirit's indwelling in the believer, and we become the temple. He says, I'll live in them, walk in them, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Now he reemphasizes the point here, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And what was happening at this church is they were being very careless. They were mingling and going along with all kinds of unbiblical practices. They were just being careless, very careless. They were saved and careless, and he's warning them. And he tells them how to fix this problem, to make the temple holy again. Verse 18, chapter 7, verse 1, is really no break here. He's going on, carrying on this theme. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's what he's saying. He's saying cleanse the temple. Cleanse the temple. The new temple program, it's going to require cleansing from time to time. And you know what? The Lord's table is a place where we really need to be serious about doing that. Cleansing the temple. Just like Jesus went in that day and said, this temple is rotten. You guys have not, this is not doing what my Father intended. And he had a holy, holy anger built inside of him. 30 years he'd watched that. Cleanse the temple. But he looks at us and what we allow in our lives and what we do and what we watch and what we talk and what we say. And he reminds us it's wrong and it's not, shouldn't be there. And he wants us to cleanse the temple. And that's what he's saying. Having therefore these promises about him living in us and this amazing relationship, he said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's the goal. Perfecting holiness. Okay, perfecting holiness. You know what perfecting holiness, it means? It means to make our bodies fulfill the purpose God has for them. And you can't do that if you continue to live in an unbiblical, unholy path. It's important. Really important. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, that's flesh sins, and spirit sins. You know what spirit sins are? Jealousy, anger. Spirit sins are listening to wrong music. That's a spirit sin. This music world is all about the spirit. We tune into a spirit world when we listen to music. And some music is rotten. Even music called Christian music is a lot of times today not holy. It's not godly. And we have to be very careful. And you know the nice thing about music today? You can turn it off. There's lots of good music out there. Good music. Listen to good music. And what he's saying here, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Anything that's not holy, that takes us away from being godly, cleanse ourselves. Cleanse ourselves. He's saying Corinthians, this was the second letter. He'd written one now, I don't know, a year later, 2 years later, he writes his second one, and he says, you're getting better, you're on the right path, but you got more to do. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I want you to go to one more. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 19. Ephesians 2, we see another perspective on the new temple program. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Everybody got a Bible here. If somebody got a pew Bible, could tell me the page. I meant to have that Bible up here. Ephesians 2:19. I know some of you didn't bring a Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, page number 1216. Page 1216 in your pew Bible. Okay? It says there, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. He's telling us about this new relationship, this new program God has got, this New Testament program. You're not strangers, foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saint. Anytime you see that word saint, some of you are from different biblical church backgrounds, and that word saint has a weird connotation to you. Just think of the word Christian. You're no more foreigners, but fellow citizens and Christians and of the household of God. That is what the church is. It is a household of God. Now let's look at verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. I tell you, it's exciting stuff. He's building a temple. And you know where it started, this temple program? Remember when Jesus, in our text this morning, those people responded to Jesus, said, I'm going to destroy this temple, in 3 days I'm going to raise it up again. They said, well, this temple was 46 years in building, and you're going to destroy it and bring it up in 3 days? The Herod's temple never was finished. It never did get finished. It was under construction. It was massive and under construction. They would charge tax, Herod would charge tax, and he was just trying to keep the Jews happy. It was a political thing, give them their temple. And by the way, the Jews today are still fervent about the temple, and they're waiting to build this new temple again today in Jerusalem. It is, if you want to go to the news, there's all kinds of stuff about it. They're going to build a new temple. And in the New Testament, in the tribulation, the temple will be built in the tribulation. It'll be part of the tribulation program. The temple will be built. But God has a new temple. It's no longer that temple in Jerusalem. It's a temple made up of people all over the world who have believed and trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, born again, indwelt by the Spirit, regenerate. Okay? Now, this building is being built. Like the temple back in Herod's temple, it was never, ever finished. And it was in 70 AD, it was destroyed by General Titus from the Roman army. They came down and they destroyed Jerusalem. They had enough of the rebel Jews and their insurrection after insurrection after insurrection, and they leveled it. Now, the big sin in the Jewish world was that they rejected their Messiah. And that is what they've paid for ever since. In a sense, they have paid for the fatal mistake of rejecting God's Son, the Messiah, that we now have the privilege of receiving Him through faith. So the building program is still going on. It is happening all the time. It's under construction. It is growing into a holy temple. It is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. And this confirms the fact that it's still unfinished. It's still in building. The structure is also different than the old temple. It is not one stone on top of another in a cold sort of way. This temple is growing in God, and God is taking dead material, dead in trespasses and sin, and giving it life. The living, born-again stones are growing into a living temple. As Solomon's temple was built without the sound of a hammer, so the Holy Spirit silently places each dead sinner into the living temple through regeneration and baptism. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. It is called a holy temple or a holy sanctuary. It is holy because the Holy Spirit indwells it. By the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the saved sinner is placed in the Lord. And the Holy Spirit indwells each believer. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. The church, the local church, is referred to as the body of Christ as well. It is a habitation, a permanent temple of God in the Spirit. When believers come together in a building to worship, the Holy Spirit is present in that sense. God is in that building. But when every believer has left the building, God leaves also. God leaves the building. God is not in any church building any more than He is any other building. Today, God indwells believers, not buildings. We have previously stated that God has never dwelt in any building made with hands, and it is a pagan philosophy which places God in human-made structures. The purpose of the church as a temple is to reveal the presence and the glory of God on earth. When believers assemble together in a church, the impression should be made upon the world, even in this age, that God is in His holy temple. The world should feel that God can be found in a church service. My question is He? Perhaps more people would be attracted to the church if they were sure that God was present. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we prepare, look at where the Lord's table is placed. The clearest instruction in the New Testament on the Lord's table is right here in this Corinthian chapter, where He's already talked about the temple. And now He's wanting them to clean the temple, cleanse it, make it holy. How is He going to achieve that? Partly right at the Lord's table. He's doing it at the Lord's table. If I could have the ushers come, two ushers, and come up to help me tonight with the Lord's table, okay? And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 20. Where's Reuel? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance for me.